Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Lori Hauptmann and Yale Hauptmann are here. They work together. We'll figure out in a minute who's the boss. I think I know. But they're both licensed attorneys in elder care, in estate planning, and in the whole spectrum of all that. In New Jersey and New York, and Yale is the author of a book I've heard of, Be Nice to Me, I Pick Your Nursing Home. I got to comment about that in a minute, but I'm looking forward to our conversation. We're going to talk about what do older people need to be thinking about getting ready for the rest of their life, and then what do young people need to be thinking about something that's going to happen hopefully for a long time. Lori Hauptmann, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
It's good to have you here. Yale, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Jim.
I'm glad you. I'm glad you're here. And my wife and I work together. God bless her. And so you know, I can relate to what you guys are dealing with as a couple there. So, Lori, I want to talk about. I want you guys to help us talk about what in this segment. What do older people? People who are, you know, let's say at least 65 or older, what do they need to be thinking about? What's their checklist of things that they need to be getting ready for the rest of their lives, including the end of life? Something I learned about looking after my parents, I didn't know there was such a thing as the concept, the process of end of life. I didn't know what that was. But there is that coming at all of us. Lori, what do you think? Give us two or three things, then we'll bring Yale in.
Well, the first thing I always want people to be aware of is having important documents in place that will allow other people to assist you with decision making. So that's the first piece of advice I always give, which is, do you have a financial power of attorney? Do you have a living will, healthcare power of attorney? And then, you know, of course, we always want
Can I stop you for a second? I'm going to stop you for a second because the documents are perfunctory, but the purpose of them, you said it, is so important for people just to take a deep breath and think about, help you make a decision.
And you need to have
the documents that will help them help you make a decision at a time when you might not be able to help yourself as much, and you need to have the documents say today what you want to happen then, right?
Correct. The documents really are the tool. People don't realize that once you're over 18 years old and you're legally emancipated, somebody is not allowed to actually fill out a claim form for you for an insurance company. They can't file taxes for you. They can't bank for you. And so what you don't realize is that without having somebody named, you are not protected if somebody needed to do that with you and for you. Mm. It doesn't even only have to be because you're incapacitated. You could have had a rehab situation and you're in a facility for a while just getting better, even have no, you know, mental incapacities, but the idea that you can't physically file a form or you can't get to the bank. And so you do need these. And without these, then you will have to rely on someone filing a guardianship for you.
Right.
And that is, you know, if you lack capacity, because a guardianship only comes into play in that situation.
Right.
But the idea is
hold on a second, Lori. And Yale, the important thing I think people need to remember, and I learned this, power of attorney doesn't give you power over people. Power of attorney is it's different from a court-appointed conservatorship or that sort of thing. Guardianship and conservatorships, those are not the same things as a power of attorney, aren't they?
No, they're not. court-ordered guardianship or conservatorship is an entirely different process. Usually, for most people, it's necessitated by the fact that they never signed a power of attorney and never put down in writing who they wanted to make to make decisions for them, and never left a roadmap and can no longer do it. That's where most guardianships we see the reason for it is lack of planning.
Well, yeah, and the reason I brought that up is because sometimes people don't want to give power of attorney because they're afraid I've actually seen people think that that meant if you have my power of attorney, that means you have the power over me, and they don't want to do that, and they don't realize what they're doing is they're actually weakening their position, aren't they?
We do that all the time. I mean, people say, well, you know, I'll sign it when I need it. And I always say, well, listen, if somebody's going to tap you on the shoulder and say, listen, Jim, tomorrow you're going to have a bad fall down the stairs, so you better sign a power of attorney today. Well, then, okay, that would make sense. But obviously that's not the case. And or people say, well, I don't trust, you know, I'm worried that somebody's going to use it when I don't want them to. And my answer to that is, well, you know, if that's the case, well, why would you choose that person at all? There's trust issues. Or is it just more of an emotional, I can't let go? And to your point, Jim, when you sign a power of attorney, it doesn't mean that the other person immediately acts. If they, first of all, if they don't have the power of attorney, the actual document, they can't do anything.
Right.
And secondly, it doesn't mean that you signed the power of attorney as the principal. It doesn't mean you're now powerless. You and the agent can both act.
That's right. As long as you, that's the point about power of a people, Laurie. As long as you have your faculties, their power of attorney does not supersede your intentions, does it?
No, and you can also revoke a power of attorney at any time if there's someone that is doing acts that are outside of what you had or something that you didn't want them to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I actually say power of attorney gives you power because it provides you with the tools that are necessary to make sure that you have somebody in place to assist you with acts and decision making. And without it, I say you lack power because then you're subject to guardianship and you don't know who's going to have to step forward.
That's right.
Again,
there are different kinds of power of attorney, right? I mean, there's different ones. You can have multiple power of attorneys. Am I correct?
Correct.
Right.
We have
hold on to that thought. I've got to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Laurie and Yael Hoffman after this break. We're going to talk some more about estate planning and taking care of yourself, giving yourself power in the future. Quick break.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.